Top of the morning to you.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Good morning. Hello. How are you? 6:11 as we go into St. Patrick's Day weekend. It is March 15th. It's Friday. And on the other side of the world, we've had a terrible story overnight. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Lou's first call coming up as well. Remember, you can always get on the line early and ask Lou a question. The great Bridget Gaynor will spend the 7 o'clock hour with us this morning. Always happy to see Bridget because that means it's Friday. Hottest stick with the Blackhawks is Brendan Perlini. As Dave just said, they're 6 points out now after not playing last night and losing a little ground. Don't panic. Still need the same thing, 9 out of 12. And we've got Chicago Flower and Garden Shows, Ricky Renteria, the White Sox manager later, and the great Paul Coit live from London coming up as well. So let's get after it with the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Last year in New Zealand, 48 people were killed by gunfire. 49 have died so far in one incident, one extended incident involving two mosques and a handful of terrorists, it appears now. Here's the story as we know it early. 49 people have been killed, 48 more injured. And let me get Steve in on this. The shooter, we believe, is alive and in custody?
Yes, at least one of the shooters is alive and in custody. 20 people are hospitalized with injuries, and some of those are life-threatening. So it's possible that the death toll could go even higher.
The worst terror attack in New Zealand history. 4 people, as we know, initially arrested. The woman is still in custody as well?
I don't know that the sexes of the people in custody. I do know that they're still poring over some of the video that apparently was shot by at least one of the shooters and uploaded to Facebook Live as it was happening.
None of these people were on terrorism watch lists as far as we know, but again, it's very early, and there's been no response from Facebook on that. You know, obviously, we encourage you not to look for that kind of horror online, and unfortunately, it'll exist there for a long time to come to fuel other loonies. There was a long manifesto. I don't know the number of pages, but in it, our Second Amendment is referenced. President Trump is referenced. There's references about being replaced and about white supremacy. It's just hatred and lunacy. And this gunman, Steve, as I understand it, camera on his helmet or his hat, whatever it might be, gets out of his car and just starts mowing people down.
Yeah, and there were hundreds of people, at least in one of these mosques, in the middle of prayers, they were sitting ducks, basically. It was awful.
Yeah, men, women, and children.
Yes.
And, it's all bad. But to show his level of inhuman behavior, he shot a woman on the way out. She pled for her life, and then he shot her in the head. And then got in his car and laughed. I mean, you can't even comprehend the kind of evil we're talking about.
Yeah, the foreign minister, the prime minister of New Zealand last night in one of the first speeches talked about how New Zealand has sort of welcomed with open arms immigrants from all over the world. And there were, a lot of obviously Muslim immigrants as well. And she said that country, despite this, will continue to welcome people with open arms and be their home as well.
Well, that's the absolute answer, right? I mean, we can't go, okay, I guess you are right when this kind of crazy happens. There's been no response from the White House yet?
Not yet, no.
All right, thanks, Steve. Let's move on to item number two here. Democratic lawmakers are charging ahead on legislation that Republican Governor Bruce Rauner had initially blocked. The Illinois House and Senate voted by wide margins this week to approve a bill that would raise the legal smoking age to 21. The House also overwhelmingly approved a bill that would prohibit employers from asking job applicants about their salary histories. While the salary history and tobacco bills received bipartisan support, Democratic lawmakers acted without any Republican votes to get a Pritzker victory in his first week in office by approving a plan to increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2025. So that is a six-year run-up, five-and-a-half-year run-up to $15 an hour. Much more discussion on all of that. The salary history question that's been part of job applications and interviews forever, I don't know how I feel about that. It's always awkward. Well, how much money are you making now?
Isn't there a way they can find that out anyway?
I think so. You can find out categories or approximations, right?
Yeah,
I mean, range,
companies.
I think. But,
yeah. Not exact, but yeah, I don't think they should be asked.
I remember being in an interview in New York City when I was a kid, and it was at NBC, and NBC was talking to me about a job in San Francisco. And this guy who ran the company, big hulking jerk, he stood over me as I sat on his very comfortable couch and said, "All right, kid, what do you make? Don't lie to me because I can find out."
Wow. Sounds like he had a gun to your head.
Yeah, it was, and there wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot back in the day. But those questions, whether you're getting your first job at Burger King or whatever, it's always awkward.
Well, yeah. I think they ask it all the time. I mean, I remember being asked, do you mind if I ask you, what you made it to?
You
got to
do your mind, Steve? Did you get to do your mind?
You do. Well, no, I didn't get to do your mind, but you have to. We had one on the opening bell a couple months ago. We had somebody on talking about this, and they say the response that you should give when asked about this is talk about generally, don't say it. I mean, be prepared to give it if they demand it, but say something like, here's the fair range of what I expect this to make and what I expect to make in the salary, and sort of drive the conversation that way.
That's interesting. So there's nothing wrong with saying my understanding is this is a $75,000 to $100,000 job or whatever.
Right.
And you're obviously probably there because you want more money.
And then if an employer comes back at you and says, well, listen, I really want to know what you were making exactly, then you have to give that information.
Is the incorrect response, what are you making?
The incorrect response, I think, would be to be coy about it and not be forthcoming. I think that would be the wrong answer. But force them to ask you directly.
Did we ask you when we hired you?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I just took whatever they gave.
Please, sir, may I have another? Next,
US $1 million.
Thank you. U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pollmeyer will become the first woman to head the federal court in Chicago, succeeding Ruben Castillo as chief judge July 1st. Pollmeyer was nominated by Bill Clinton, been a district judge in the Dirksen Federal Building since October of 98. Served as federal magistrate in the same courthouse for 7 years before that. Congratulations to her. A plan to consolidate training facilities for the fire and police departments into one 30-acre complex of West Garfield Park could cost around $95 million, minus overages. City says we'll partially pay for that through the sale of other land. The proposed Joint Public Safety Training Academy would require 6 existing facilities. The city expects construction to begin there in early 2020 and to be completed by 2021. Next.
Top of the morning to you.
I like the idea, Dave Ennett, that we would have a player named Ha Ha Clinton Dix here.
It seems, in a way, it would have been more fitting a few years ago when the Bears were bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Ha ha, the Bears are bad.
Yeah.
But Ha Ha Clinton Dix, is he in?
He's in.
We have signed the former Packer?
He has been signed.
What is his level of talent?
I think it's pretty good.
Is he an impact player?
I think he can be. I think he will be a good guy in the secondary to help replace Adrian Amos, and he comes a lot cheaper than Amos, who got a $37 million deal with the Packers.
So it's almost a trade.
Except he came from Washington.
Oh, okay.
So Green Bay traded him to Washington last season. Now he comes to the Bears.
Why did we get him so cheap? Is he injured?
Not injured, no. I think
this is just his market value.
It's just the market value. But I actually think that's kind of a bargain for him. I mean, he's a veteran guy. He's only 26.
Do we know why
he's a veteran at 26?
I mean, I've heard you're right. I've heard this name forever, but I've never asked. Why is his name Ha Ha?
I think it was a childhood nickname that stuck, and I think it was like his.
Ha ha!
Is he humorous?
He better be.
I think he gets it, and the people kind of like the name, and he's. I think it was his grandmother dubbed him Ha Ha. I think his given name is Hashan.
Okay.
And instead it sort of got shortened or.
So it's not like a whole family of names, like Guffaw is his brother,
no,
and
Chuckle.
Snort is his sister, and Chuckle is his brother.
No.
Okay. Got it. There you go. And finally this, YouTube star Lily Singh landed a new late-night show on NBC, replacing Carson Daly after Seth Meyers. Singh, also known as Superwoman, first announced the big news on The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon last night. The name of the show is A Little Late with Lily, or A Little Late with Lily Singh. Half-hour program with a variety of guests premieres in September in the 1:35 a.m. slot. Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Do you think she got the NBC job that they were talking to you about?
Yeah, the one where they said, hey, yeah, we had a guy in here in 1986, 88, whatever it was.
You know how much she earned from YouTube? $10.5 million. It's crazy.
I'm not sure why she'd leave.
Exactly.
Actually, I guess she'd probably still do it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, James Corden.
She got a nice pay raise, too, right?
I don't know. Maybe. It'd be tough to make that pay that for that 135 slot.
I wonder if they asked her how much she made at YouTube.
James Corden on the show that follows Stephen Colbert.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a late show? I don't know. I can't remember what they call it now. The late show.
Late show, yeah.
James Corden's nightly audience, I think it's around a million, something like that for CBS. The clips they post on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else, their social media presence, I believe is 10 to 20 million and sometimes more.
Unbelievable. Well, he took the whole karaoke thing from DeCoste.
Yeah, he did.
Right, and turned that into a...
And we have not received a dime. Not a friggin' dime. 622, Lou's next. You want to be the first caller? 312-981-7200. Got a question for Lou on your house. As day 21 begins of my head held hostage... I thought I had this beat yesterday.
You're still feeling it?
It was like I felt great when I went to bed last night. Now I woke up this morning, it's like a relapse.
You're just upset your birthday's done.
No, you know what it is? That germ woke up and went, you're not done with me yet. we'll come back with Lou in a moment.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's time for you, first call to Lou, American Weathermaker sponsors him on this show for you.
I tell you what, John DeCoste, the musical talents of John DeCoste never cease to impress. See what he did there? He got the name of the show in, he got the sponsor in, and it's snappy and it's zippy.
Yeah, I think we need to get him into, like, jingle writing so that he could actually, you know, make some money.
Ooh, don't go crazy now. That's crazy. Are you not on TV this morning?
I am. I'm actually, WGN TV does this live St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that's right. So you got to go into that.
Wing ding doodle.
Yeah.
So I'm standing outside because there's, like, literally 1,000 people inside this bar who are already drunk.
And what bar are we talking about?
The 115 Bourbon Street in Marionette Park.
All right, so there you go if you want to go see TV this morning. Sean is on the...
I doubt you'll get in.
Oh, really?
Hey, by the way, a little bird told me it was your birthday yesterday?
Yeah, I'm surprised I didn't get a call from you.
I'm so sorry. I was out of town, and you know the time change threw me.
Yeah, and you must have had one of those out-of-town phones that doesn't work.
It never works. I don't know. I kept dying. Well, you know, Facebook and Instagram was down. Remember, it affected everybody.
Yep. I had a friend of mine, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago, and I don't even know why he would have been calling, but I called him back, and he said, I couldn't call you. I was out of town. I went, no kidding. What town were you in where all the phones weren't functional?
Somewhere in Denmark, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Sean, what is your issue?
Hey, good morning. Actually, it's not a question. I have to say thank you, because listening to your show and everything, you had mentioned at one point a shower glass cleaner from Ace Hardware. Mm-hmm. And for the life of me, I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but it was a green solution, and I went out and used it, and oh my god, amazing. Just
called
super
bright
easy
and clean.
That's it. Yep.
Bright and clean.
Bright and clean. Bright and clean. Okay.
The thing I love is they will actually, the company gives you a little sample cup to try in a small area. And, you know, if you're happy with it, you go back and get the bigger stuff. To see a company actually doing that was just a pleasure. I mean,
that's great. So, I like that. By the way, for being on, you're going to get a desktop indoor weather station, which includes a Tiny Tom Skilling. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Sean, hold on. Thank you for listening. All right, if I go into an Ace, let's say your Ace.
Okay.
Your Ace. Your Aces.
Yep. Two of them.
Give me two other. I got a bright and clean. Give me two other things I'm going to pick up this weekend.
That will make a difference in your life.
Anything you're thinking, this is stuff I need this weekend.
This weekend is a terrific product called the Green Gobbler, which is a drain opener that is a more eco-friendly way to open up the drains.
Okay.
It comes in these powder packs, which is really good. And quite honestly, right now, though it doesn't seem like it, everyone, not just my aces, but like the four-step program and fertilizers are all on sale now. And it's the kind of thing that you could take advantage of buying now and just put it, throw it in the garage until you're ready to use it, but you're going to save a ton of money. I mean, like a lot of money, you know, something like 25% by buying it early, even though like the last thing you're going to do is put fertilizer down on your lawn.
All right. I have a question if you're taking questions from me.
Absolutely. But you will not, you're not eligible to win the weather station from American Weather Maker.
Nor the Tiny Tom.
No, but I can get him to come to your house.
Well, that's nice. That might be fun. Oh, Steve, you got a beautiful yard. All right, so over the course of the winter in White Lightning, you pull into the garage, and with snow and ice and salt, a lot of that ends up on the garage floor. Now, I've swept out and swept off a lot of that, and when I say I mean other people, and but yet there's still residue there. Do I need to power wash my garage floor and then get it off the driveway, obviously, as well?
What the easiest thing for you to do is get a gallon of CLR, mix it 50-50 in a bucket of warm water, and then take a little deck brush with a on a pole and just kind of scrub those areas, let it sit there for about 10 minutes, scrub it again, and then hose it off.
So power wash is a little over the top?
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to take everything out of the garage to do that because you're going to spray everything, and I'm assuming you have some drywall in your garage.
Yep,
you
sure.
Get that all wet. It's not worth it.
All right, so a gallon CLR, 50-50 with warm water.
Like a gallon, not the whole gallon, but you're going to, in other words, if you're going to fill up a couple gallons of warm water in a bucket, put two cups of CLR in there, actually. That's not 50-50.
All right.
And then scrub that with a brush. It'll work itself into a froth. Let it sit there for 10 minutes, then hose it off.
All right. And does that include me as well? Should I be scrubbed and hosed?
Well, you could use a little CLR. I've noticed lately there's some calcium deposits on you that they're just not looking good.
All right, you get in there and you celebrate your Irishness.
That was nasty.
Oh, Manfredini.
We'll hear you on the radio tomorrow morning on 720 WGN.
Love you.
I love you back there, buddy. That's Lou Manfredini, and the headlines are next in 720 WGN.
It's business time. It's business.
It's time for the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. This is our weekly segment that features Chicago business leaders and entrepreneurs telling their stories so we can better understand ours. This weekend is St. Patrick's Day in Chicago, a huge festival of Irish culture and heritage, and also a huge weekend for Jewish delis. That's because corned beef and cabbage is the mainstay dish on all of our dinner tables, and that means places like Manny's Deli are working overtime. Dan Raskin is a fourth-generation owner and operator of the famed deli off Roosevelt Road. This is one of the busiest weekends of the year, and we take a couple minutes to talk with him about his business during the lunch rush.
So obviously we've got St. Patrick's Day coming up. Corned beef and cabbage is on the menu. Do you see a surge for people looking for corned beef the week leading up to St. Patrick's Day?
It is off the charts. Starting today through Monday, actually, the offices keep ordering, but our big days in the restaurant are Saturday and Sunday. We're out the door all day.
How do you deal with it? Because, you know, you guys obviously have your different holidays and areas where it's going to be a special occasion, but do you have to plan ahead for St. Patrick's Day?
It's a lot of planning, no sleep, and I say hi to my family on Monday, and then I'll see them again next Monday.
You know, looking at the history of St. Patrick's Day and corned beef and cabbage, it's a very American tradition and a very Chicago tradition in that. This is one of the best, if not most historic, Jewish delis in the Chicagoland area. It's kind of interesting that you guys are the one of the main suppliers for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, we've definitely corned beef and Jewish corned beef has like taken hold of St. Patrick's Day. I mean, everybody wants corned beef, cabbage, potatoes, Reubens, just a plain corned beef sandwich. But it's We supply other restaurants. We sell our corned beef at Costco. Here we have a carryout deli that you can come in and buy by the pound, but still the most popular dishes are the corned beef and cabbage on the hot dinner line and the corned beef sandwiches.
As a young entrepreneur and someone's taken over, you have to obviously pay attention to the past, but you also have to think about the future as technology changes and the way that the production changes, but also social media and things of that nature and marketing. So do you have to think about both those?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have a big social media presence across the board. That's, to me, that was one of the most important ways to invest our money in advertising, is if we're going to do it, let's do it in something that we can unite all generations, and not just the older generations and not just the younger, but each platform of social media really has a different core base. So we go to all different platforms, and we're really getting people here. But I do think the core is engaging the younger audiences. We've done a lot of things, whether it's like on Saturdays and Sundays, we have a magician here, and they do balloons and tricks, and it's not just for kids but adults, but it really gets the kids coming in here and remembering that when they were little, and they keep coming back and bringing back their kids. So things like that really catch hold and start family traditions.
And Chicago, I mean, this is obviously, you're here on Jefferson Street. This is a staple. What is it about doing business in Chicago that keeps you here?
I mean, I think there's the politics of Chicago, but I just think people in Chicago love their city so much that they love things that are Chicago and are born and raised here. So we definitely get a lot of people like standing up and making sure everyone knows that there's other cities in the country, but Chicago is the best at everything it does, basically.
Dan Raskin here at Manny's. Thanks so much.
Thanks for coming in.
You can listen to all the Download on Chicago Business segments sponsored by Signature Bank on our website, WGNradio.com. And tune in tonight to Extension 720, where we'll explore the history of corned beef and cabbage and how this traditional Irish dish is neither traditional nor Irish.
So did Justin actually scam a free lunch out of that?
Kind of like sounded yeah. that way.
I was telling Cash in the booth that all that ambient noise, or, you know, the restaurant uh-huh. noise was making me hungry.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. It kind of sounded like Justin had just taken a bite of one of those sandwiches.
Yeah, right.
There's some green donuts in the newsroom.
Oh, now everybody's going to come in here and get the donuts.
A little hungry. Oh, sorry.
Justin's getting up later these days. He'll be on later to plug his first Extension 720 tonight.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
The college tuition scandal of the week, which we thought was going to be the big story of the week until this horrific mass shooting in New Zealand overnight, now includes Phil Mickelson from the PGA Tour. Phil Mickelson is saying, hey, we didn't know. We just got traditional advice. Joe Montana saying the same thing, quarterback for the 49ers, legendary Super Bowl winning Hall of Fame Notre Dame 49er quarterback Joe Montana says the same thing, said, hey, we just got consulting advice. And this guy at the head of the pen for this story was a college tuition consultant before he was a criminal.
Right. So he helps parents navigate the process. And what Mickelson said was, if he had tried to interfere with his kids' college selection, the kids would have revolted.
Right.
So they wanted no part of him somehow interfering or not that he was saying he even would have done that, but he did make a statement about it.
Meanwhile, Aunt Becky, fired from Fuller House, I should say. No big surprise there. Her daughter, Olivia Jade, who is a YouTube influencer, has been dropped by Sephora, the cosmetics company. Fuller House star Lori Loughlin didn't just work the system to get her daughter into a good college. She worked her daughter over, too, to make her tell her she had to go. I mean, that's not the first parent who said to a kid, you're going to college.
And it was two daughters, too.
Right. Olivia Jade, the oldest, right, I believe?
I think
she's
so,
the older
yeah.
one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Sephora one.
She goes by OJ, so, you know, which she's not the famous OJ. It's
kind
just,
of
yeah.
a mistake right there.
Laughlin's daughter and fashion designer Massimo Giannulli and the aspiring social media star Olivia Jade sat down on something called the Zach Sang Show podcast to detail her college life and why she decided to attend. During the recent interview, Olivia made it clear she went, quote, mostly because my parents really like wanted me to go.
Yeah.
The reason I'm in college is totally mostly because my parents like really like wanted me to go. Totally.
I wonder what what her grades are.
She added that neither of her folks are college grads. Well, they've both dropped out of school now, both girls.
Oh, right. But I mean, before that.
She didn't really get the academic aspect too much, but she said she enjoyed vlogging, video blogging, to showcase her college life. She recently tweeted that YouTube will always be her greatest passion, and she'd rather be vlogging than sitting in 6 hours of classes. Dude, I totally had to sit in like 6 hours of classes. My God, is this a foreign country? How is that fair?
You're really good at that.
You know, she kind of reminds me a little bit of the older daughter on Modern Family, Haley.
Ah, yeah.
Right?
Very much, yeah. Yeah, that's a great reference. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I think Haley would have realized she couldn't get into a decent school and survive. You know, she did the community college route for a while. Well, now she's pregnant with twins.
Yeah, and her parents probably wouldn't have done this unless it was a plot. Like, I thought you were going to do it. I thought you were going to do it. Olivia's parents have been charged for allegedly participating in a huge operation to scam entrance exams into elite colleges. Both Lori and Massimo have been accused of paying over $500,000 to get the girls in. The older daughter is actually Isabella Rose, who was attending USC as well. Olivia said she was following in her footsteps. So there you go. I mean, that's just one more piece of the story that you now know. The Felicity Huffman side of this seems more quiet at this point. But we'll have perp walks for both of them at some point when they have to go into court and deal with it.
Less money involved with her.
True. Yeah. That's the thing. Did you want to see the rate card for this scam? Felicity Huffman, $15,000 to have a guy take the test for her daughter. The fake scholarship, that's $500,000. That seems like quite a price jump for the Laughlin family.
It does.
Yeah, it was. Whew.
I mean, I'd be on the phone to Felicity Huffman and go, look, we're both going to jail. How the hell did you get off so cheap? By the way, neither mother or father, in the case of Massimo, likely to end up in jail because they're first-time offenders. But I right now, I would already be forming a foundation that contributes to underprivileged kids who need to get into college.
Right.
I'd be building it right now.
And it could have a rather negative impact on their careers, wouldn't you think? I mean, you mentioned Lori Loughlin's already been fired.
Oh, yeah.
Man, she's only 54, you know? She could have a long career ahead of her.
Yeah, Felicity Huffman, I suppose, could do the I'm So Sorry, I Screwed Up tour. Because she's a bankable movie star. And I don't know that it's going to be as bad for her. I don't know what you do with Lori Loughlin. Hallmark Channel said bye-bye.
Yeah.
And that was the largest, you know, source of her income. She was in all the Hallmark movies.
Oh, yeah. She was in a lot of them.
So.
And Netflix stuff, too.
Lori Loughlin, apparently more so than Massimo, though we don't know because we didn't live with them, was the one pushing this. But mom and dad didn't graduate from college, and they really wanted the girls, too. So, there you go.
At any price.
Apparently. So it's a little criminal. It happens.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Well, St. Patrick's Day always, seems to fall on a Tuesday now. But this year, Sunday. Perfect. Everybody can spend the entire weekend just pretending they're Irish or enjoying their Irishness. And celebrating all over. And as you guys know, we have had now 20 years of welcoming the Cork County delegation to Chicago for St. Patrick's Day. I have the mayor of the county of Cork, Councillor Patrick Gerard Murphy. I'm not sure you're Irish.
Oh, you better believe I am.
Patrick Gerard Murphy. I mean, it sounds Irish.
We pronounce it Gerard.
Gerard. Patrick Gerard. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Enjoying myself.
I'm sure you are. Been here all week?
No, we arrived on Thursday.
Oh, you just got
here. On Wednesday, apologies.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, the days blend into each other because you just told me off the air you were up till 2 a.m.
I was, but it was very sensible. It was all important business I was at.
Uh-huh. What do you think of cold beer? Do you like cold beer?
I do.
Okay. Warm beer's okay, too?
Not so much.
Okay. Because we keep it cold. It's very cold, as you know.
I think that's the way to have it.
Yeah, not like those crazy Brits at times. You know what they're like. Tell us about County Cork.
Cork, absolutely fantastic place. We have a relationship now with Cook County for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's gone from strength to strength. We really have a good relationship, very strong ties now with very, very many individuals over here, and it's going from strength to strength. It's brilliant. But Cork itself is a wonderful county. It's the biggest county in Ireland. Very diverse. We've a second largest city in Ireland, but we've a wonderful coastline. We've a wonderful heritage, wonderful tourist attractions. We have the Cork Harbour is the second largest natural harbour in the world, and some huge military history there, and it's a fantastic
What's the number one business? Attraction.
What's the number one business? I suppose agri-food and tourism are our two main businesses.
Okay.
But Cork itself, in Ringaskiddy, we've probably about 10 of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world located there. And we've about 8 of the top biopharma companies located there as well.
When tourists come to see, what do they have to see when they're in?
Well, there's an awful lot around the edge of the city. As I said, you have the Natural Harbour, you've got Spike Island, you've got Camden, Fort Camden, which are huge in military history and have a huge history in that area.
Well, what I find is, like, you're visiting Chicago. Mm. When people come in, even though we live here, we take for granted all the things that we have here, so we don't necessarily go, well, let's go to this or that, which might be interesting to you. So when you come to Chicago, what do you want to see?
Well, I've been here before. I was back here. I was here in the 90s. I had an uncle, actually, who lived and worked here all his life, and he worked for the Transport Authority here.
And he owed you money?
No.
Came here to collect.
He always paid his way, in fairness to him.
Oh, okay.
And he brought presents when he came from Chicago home. But I suppose it's been chock-a-block the whole time we've been here, so I haven't got a chance to go and see things, although I was down to the convention center yesterday just to look at their setup there. It's fantastic.
Well, it's all business, then. What do you want to see that's fun?
What do I want to see that's fun? I'm looking at the Navy Pier out the window, and I'd like to go down and experience that.
Yeah, go down and see
the Ferris wheel.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I must go down there and have a look.
Yeah, it'll get you over there, that's for sure.
If I can squeeze it into the itinerary that has been foisted upon me.
Yes. Have you ever been here during baseball season at all?
No.
Oh, you should come back and head to a Sox or a Cubs game. Yeah.
Tell Mary about the number one sport in Ireland.
Number one sport is GA, so hurling and football. I suppose hurling is the most attractive looking of the two games.
Now, hurling is not like Friday night and you drank too much. Hurling involves tremendous athletic ability. Explain the game.
Well, you need serious hand-eye coordination. So you have a hurl and you have a ball, a slitter, which is a real small ball. And so you need real hand-eye coordination and dexterity to actually play the game.
It's a curled huge device.
Is that a net? A big net, like God, lacrosse? No, not like lacrosse.
It's a Nash Hurley, so it's shaped like, I guess, what would you call it? It's an unusual shape. You've seen it.
Yeah.
A scooper?
You can scoop the ball.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes. I know what it is.
But it's physical.
Extremely.
It can be a little violent at times. It's exciting. There's always scoring, because one of the things that Americans knock European football about is, you know, there's not enough scoring.
Yeah, it's a little bit boring.
Hurling goes crazy. And the number one,
you'd be good at calling one of those games.
I saw a real sports Brian Gumbel piece on the number one hurling star of Ireland probably a year or two ago, and he works a regular job. Because the hurling athletes are not professionals, correct?
Totally amateur. They work full-time jobs, and they train in their spare time, and they play at weekends. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And
it's amazing.
Yeah. And it's so, like, you're selling out stadiums of 80,000, so you'd imagine that it would be professional, but no, it's kind of an ethos with the GA is that they keep it, you know, non-professional, and I suppose there's a huge club structure at the bottom, right?
Okay.
It's all voluntary. And I suppose if you're going to start paying people to actually do it, it kind of undermines that whole structure.
Well, but we have that discussion here about college athletics. The players, don't get paid.
Sure.
And because the players don't get paid, there's always a discussion about should they get paid because the schools are making money.
Right.
And the schools are making money, so why shouldn't the players get paid? If you're an athlete helping create an atmosphere where 80,000 people are going to pay to get in to see you play, have the athletes ever pushed to be paid?
Sometimes, yeah, there's some undercurrents of it, all right, but I suppose most of the money is reinvested into the grassroots, so
okay.
Support small clubs, local clubs. We have, in Ireland, we have parishes at a very, very small micro level.
And helping kids learn to play the game,
exactly,
and things of that nature?
It's kind of rediverted into coaching at a young age, and that's where the money is spent, to be honest with you, And I think it's good.
Were you a hurler?
No, I was a footballer, Gaelic footballer.
Oh, and a Gaelic football, that's another thing that you ought to Google up and get a sense of Gaelic football. Dave, how would you describe Gaelic football?
Well, I'm wondering, Gaelic football is a little closer to rugby, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not.
No?
It's
okay, well, I do have to Google it then. I haven't watched a lot of Gaelic football.
It's played with a ball. obviously that's round. Rugby has an oval shaped ball, similar to American football, but it's not as a contact sport, say, as rugby would be. It's less contact
and more skill.
More skill, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What's an American sport that Irish folks find really silly?
Silly?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know you love golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Golf is huge in Ireland.
And you must have curling. Do you have curling?
Not.
No, okay. When the Olympics, we all laugh at curling.
One thing I suppose Irish people always look at is American football and the actual time it takes to play a game.
Right.
For a small, well, that's because the commercials.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's actually baffling to us.
Right.
Whereas we actually, in Gaelic football, you have two halves. And
you keep playing. The clock moves, right? The
clock stays going.
Right.
No stopping.
Right.
Regardless of injuries, huh?
Regardless of injuries.
Yeah. What do they do? Just like throw people off the field?
Well, okay. We allow treatment on it. All right. Don't worry.
Depending on the injury.
Well, you're concussed. Too bad.
Yeah, you can step over those that fall.
Tough.
As you know, Chicago has a great tourism culture as well, but we have harsh winters.
Yes.
And this winter's been particularly tough. So the majority of people come here in the summertime. Have you visited in good weather?
I've been here in the 90s when I was here. It was good weather, and it's absolutely a fantastic place to be in good weather. And I like Chicago. It's a bit more laid back. It's a bit more relaxed. I was in New York the weekend before last, and it's all go, and it's kind of a little bit more impersonal.
People are a little snooty there too.
Are they?
Yeah.
You can say that.
Not like us.
You can say that. I can't.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we'll find out if a real Irishman, 100% Irishman, the mayor of County of Cork, really appreciates the fact that we do St. Patrick's Day up the way we do it. Because, you know, there's a lot of St. Patrick's Day hobbyists here. You know what I mean? These aren't real Irish folks. They're hobbyists.
They amateur night.
Yeah, it's like hobby Christians. They go to church on Christmas and Easter. We'll come back and talk more with the mayor here in a few minutes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The most valuable person on the planet. And then more with the mayor of County Cork. It's our friend Patrick Gerard Murphy. We'll get back to him in just a second as well. Why would we possibly be honoring a member of the Detroit Tigers, Dave?
Because he's involved in something that extends well beyond the world of baseball or sports.
No question about it. This guy is just absolutely fascinating. Matt Boyd joins us. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming on. How's your spring?
Couldn't be going much better right now. It's going right as it's supposed to, build into the season. Starting to hit full stride right now, and man, we're ready to get north and get back into the cold weather, as weird as that sounds.
We appreciate great competition, but if you could tank against the White Sox, that'd be okay with us.
I don't know what I can guarantee. You know, you guys got one of our guys now over there, McCann, so can't be taking it too easy on him.
Matt Boyd, you know, you're for a young guy, you've got a real world view, and I appreciate it. And your wife, Ashley, sounds like an absolute saint. You guys have essentially adopted 36 girls in Uganda to protect them from the sex slave industry. How did you possibly get into this?
Yeah, well, thank you. My wife, you know, she is a saint. And this is, it's my wife, Ashley, and I, going back to Oregon State, you know, where my wife and I met, she got her degree in political science. She was going pre-law at the time and then realized that she could make more of an impact with non-governmental organizations. And out of college, she got a job with an organization called Remember New. They rescue kids from the sex trade through prevention, and they have homes, over 100 homes in over 30 countries around the world. And luckily, she was able to work remotely. So once we were married, I was chasing my minor league dream, chasing the dream of the minors, and she was, you know, chasing hers. So we got to be together. I went for about 4 years, felt called to step away for reasons that really didn't make sense, but she felt it was time for a change, even though she loved the scope, loved the people at Remember New. And through that, we started our organization, actually with the help of the founder of Remember New, her old former boss.
Okay.
And he connected us with a lady in Uganda named Dorothy, who has just this amazing story. It's on our website, kingdomhome.org, but basically she was a victim as a child, and she dedicated her life to stop this horrible tragedy. And we partnered with her, and through that we started our own nonprofit called Kingdom Home. And in that, we rescued 36 girls from ages 6 to 14 from the sex trade, and our goal is to save more and keep growing.
And so, the idea, Matt, if I understand it, is to develop and have what amounts to safe houses, right, where these girls can live and then be protected?
Exactly. You know, we're never going to age a girl out. We want to rescue them, and we want to, more than importantly, our vision, we want to get to them before the bad guys do. We want to save girls that and boys that are at risk, and bring them in, give them, you know, 3 meals a day, give them an education, down the road, give them vocational training at university that they can go equip themselves to go have success in the world and not become part of this cycle and get back into this thing.
Do you have kids yet?
I do. We have a year and a half old girl, and we got a little boy on the way.
Yeah, once that little girl's born, I mean, it doesn't become more real than that, does it?
Oh, 100%. It's, you know, our daughter was just an infant at the time that we started this organization, and to think that there are kids, you know, innocent children out there that are essentially being child slaves in the sex trade is horrible. I can't even fathom it. And we got to go to Uganda last year, and just to see the kids who, you know, knowing their background, knowing their history, now to see them where they were today, joyful, singing, dancing, playing, just as children should, you know, hope restored, in a place of refuge. It's just, it's how it should be, you know, and no child should have to go through what they had to, but now they're living in a safe place.
Talking to Matt Boyd from the Detroit Tigers, he and his wife Ashley have started Kingdom Home, and we'll give you that website again, kingdomhome.org, over and over again, because we want you to go there, Dave.
Matt, what's the level of awareness on the part of your teammates of your endeavor, and what's the reaction that you've gotten from them?
Well, at first they were shocked. They one, didn't know it was an issue. Two, didn't know that we really had a heart for it. And but the reaction has been awesome. I mean, just to give you context, we have our first event tomorrow here at Tampa Bay at the Top Golf there, and the whole team showing up. I think it's pretty cool. They all want to be there. You know, they're donating their time to help us raise money for you know, buying land and building our first home. Right now we're renting a home, but our vision is to buy land that we can put multiple homes on in the near future. And this is our first thing, and it's cool to see that response. Guys are getting behind it. Guys want to help out in various capacities, and it's that's the thing. It's not Ashley and I's thing. It's not about us. It's for the girls. It's for bringing awareness to this horrible trade, horrible thing in our world, and to end it. And it's cool that our guys are getting behind it.
Amen to that. You know, I'm of the feeling, Matt, and obviously you are as well, once you achieve any measure of public life, you have an obligation to give back. And the idea that you, through your gifts and your talent and your success, can wrangle up your buddies to do this as well, it all multiplies itself, because they tell people, and then their people tell other people, and that's how you grow these things.
Dude, completely, man. Couldn't be more true. I'm just so grateful that, you know, the guys are just responsive in that sense, you know. I'm just so thankful.
So they're building homes as fast as they can to save these girls. One of the problems with these sex slave trade of kids is nobody wants to talk about it, because you don't want to think about it. You don't want to think in the world we live in that there are people that will exploit children this way. But you have to think about it, and you have to do something about it, and that's where the Boyds have dived in. How bad is this? Well, we have 2016 statistics, 3.6 million adults and 1 million children were victims of forced sexual exploitation, according to the United Nations, in 2016. The governments can't work fast enough to stop this. We need people like the Boyds to step up and do it. And I couldn't be more proud of you, man.
Well, thank you, man. Like I said, it's not about us, right? It's about the people that are going to be impacted. And, you know, I think the real challenge would be to do nothing. So it's we're just grateful for that.
You know, I'd look at the homepage for Kingdom Home at kingdomhome.org. You can sponsor a kid right there, just to see the smiling faces on those kids at that homepage. You know, because kids are supposed to when they're little, they're supposed to go to school and have fun. That's it. Work hard in school and have fun. And these kids are all smiling and happy and loving life. You should feel very good about that.
You know what? The last day we were there, we were praying and singing Christmas carols, because it was almost Christmas time. And I said, okay, guys, I'm going to see you later. And they started crying. They were messing with me, and then I started crying.
Sure.
And they were just so, it was one of the most touching moments of my life. Like, I've never seen you cry like that. I was like, I don't want to leave.
So right.
They're so much fun. We're having so much fun. I mean, they were giving me joy, and that was the coolest part, is that they, hope is restored, and that was the best part about it, right? You would have never even known that they were, never even known about their past by seeing them today.
That's the thing. The more you help people, the more you learn from the people you help. I mean, that's a great truism in life. Matt Boyd, you're an amazing guy, and I wish you nothing but success this year. I hope you have a great big year, except when you play the White Sox. Thanks for doing what you do, and please give your wife a hug from all of us. She's amazing.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for letting me talk about it on here. And, bless you guys. Thank you so much.
All the best. What a good dude he is.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
they come in next month, play the White Sox. Maybe get an update from them.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I want to hear how the fundraiser went this weekend. Yeah.
KingdomHome.org if you can help. You can also go to the Detroit Free Press website, freep.com, freep.com, and just search Matt Boyd, and you'll get the story that spurred the call to book him as the most valuable person on the planet. We've got an actual Irish woman in here to talk to the actual Irishman.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Bridget Gaynor, say hi to the mayor.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Yeah.
I don't know that we'll be able to understand your language, the two of you will speak, but we'll come back and listen in and get your headlines in a second.
We'll chat among ourselves.
Yes.
So we got County Cork and Cook County.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Two very large counties. We'll probably strike a lot of deals here during the break, but we'll come back and get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
When troubles are real, they're meant to be tame. When troubles are seen, a few. Our folk are better and never declined. A paddle the young canoe. We want to be small, I cannot at all. But it's a pain that's true. But then we strive to the ocean in life. When paddle the young canoe. Oh, well, I have no wife to bother me life. Love it, they're real but true. The whole day long, I laugh at a song. And paddle the young
canoe. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend. One of my favorite Irish peoples. You know, I got a brother-in-law who's old country. Good morning, Ian. Is Bridget Gaynor. Bridget Gaynor's here, and Bridget Gaynor, along with being on the Cook County Board and a big shout at Ann, is kind enough to give us some time here. And, you know, like everything else in this town, I've never met anyone in Chicago that doesn't know you or you know them.
Yeah, don't believe everything you hear.
I try to impress people. I go, you know my friend Bridget Gaynor? Oh, yeah, I've known her for years.
There's a lot of us. There's a lot of Gainers. So they may be thinking of it could be someone else.
Well, in studio, as you know, is our new best friend, and that's the mayor of the County of Cork.
Yes.
Councillor Patrick Gerard Murphy. Of course, you've known him for years.
Well, you know, my dad, Bill Gaynor, started the partnership between Cook County and Cork County. And so we really, St. Patrick's Day for about the last 10 years has kicked off when they said the Cork guys are coming to town.
Okay.
Because he has an ability to make this great friendship. And so there's been a lot of back and forth. And in fact, one of the best things that came out of the partnership was, so these guys would come to Chicago and talk about hospitality, talk about business. But they got to know the kids at Mercy Home.
Uh-huh.
And a couple years ago, they took a whole group of young men from Mercy over to Cork. Showed them Ireland, traveled around the country, they went scuba diving, they did all this cool thing. So, you know, it's really incredible what happens when you get to be friends with people.
And it's happening in the summer, actually. There's another group of about 10 kids going over.
Is that right?
Summer. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good for you. Now, County Cork being as big as it is, and Cook County being one of the largest counties in the country, do you guys have similar issues?
You know, probably a little different, but there's always the opportunity to do more business. So I think that's what we talk about a lot of hospitality.
Yeah.
Cork's a slightly smaller city than Chicago.
But what when you share, when you become sister city, sister county, sister whatever, do you share, is it easier to share successes or share problems? In other words, what do you learn more from?
Easiest to share drinks. So that's where we start.
Sure. Yeah.
Have a good time. Make some friends.
Different kind of hospitality. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. No, it's more the successes. You know, I mean, everyone's trying to get businesses to come here, and they're trying to get tourists to come, and they're trying to build up that part of their industry. And that kind of hospitality, restaurant, hotel, is a big part of where the sharing has been.
Absolutely. Like, we have a huge hospitality tourism sector in Cork. It's one of our main industries, along with agri-food. And we learn a lot from what Cook County do. We were down at Choose Chicago yesterday to learn how they sell their convention center and how they bring various different groups in and facilitate them. And, you know, it's a sharing of experiences. I suppose we also have a huge agri-food business. And actually, on Monday, I'm going over to a factory, which is about an hour and a half out
out the road, which is Carberry Group, which is one of the biggest companies in West Cork, and they have a plant actually out about an hour out the road doing food flavourings. So I suppose with Brexit on the horizon, we're trying to, I suppose, explore other alternative markets for what we
That whole thing is just crazy. I mean, we have a few issues here politically, just one or two, but what you all are dealing with Brexit, you just don't know where it's going to come down.
It's bananas. It's absolutely
They've had three votes in the last week, and just last night, late, they voted to say, okay, we don't like any deals, but we also don't like no deal.
Yeah.
So now we're not going to leave with no deal. So, you know,
it's bizarre.
I mean, I think about Theresa May, and I think, does she just wake up and say, how many more hours is it till I can get back in this bed?
Because
everything in between is going to be bad.
No kidding.
You know?
It's just been brutal.
It's crazy. Graham Norton is a very, very famous...
He's
actually probably the most famous chat show host in Britain.
He's a great entertainer.
And look, they made a decision, I think, without their full knowledge of what the implications of that decision would make, and I suppose the British are very proud people, and they don't like to go back on what they have decided on. And Graham made a great statement. He said, if an Englishman says he's going to eat his foot, he's going to eat his foot.
You know what? You don't have to stick to that rule.
No. Well, there was someone on the news saying, hey, listen, we survived World War One, we survived World War Two, we'll survive Brexit. And they said, you didn't choose to go into a war. It kind of forces conspired, and then you were at war, and so you had to survive the war. You're inviting this.
Brexit is a circular firing squad.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, we have a similar thing in Illinois where we have to revisit opening the Constitution to talk about a pension debt of $100 billion and things. People go, no, not a decision, but maybe we can't change. My opinion's always been, if the house is on fire, you got a bucket of water, somebody's got to throw the water. You don't just hold the water and go, I don't know what happened.
You don't redesign the bucket.
Yeah, come on. I know we've only got a couple minutes here. So,
that's fine.
Do you find us cute and adorable when we celebrate St. Patrick's Day at this level? Or, you know, because it's really, we've taken it, we've Americanized it, haven't we?
You probably have taken it to a level that we don't do in Ireland, actually. But it's brilliant. It's absolutely fantastic. And I think people just get on board. It's just a great party. It's a great atmosphere. And... like I met a couple in the lift when in the hotel I'm staying in, and they are from Los Angeles, and they came up. They've no Irish roots, no Irish connections, but they came for St. Patrick's Day here in Chicago.
There you go.
Such a party and such a great occasion, I suppose. You
it's
know?
Awesome.
They must have run out of booze in L.A.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's an honor to have you here.
Yeah, but I suppose just to... Bill is obviously very ill at the moment.
And, right.
Jer Power is our retired director of finance, and the two of them are best buddies, and they are the joint chairs of this interrelationship,
right.
And they've been working on it for years and years and years together, and you know, only for those two guys driving it on, I don't think it would have been as successful as it is.
Yeah, well, that's your dad. And
it's my dad, and it's a wonderful credit to him.
Yeah,
it's very nice. It's a great legacy too.
And Jar Power as well, in fairness, they were great buds.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great buddies.
How long are you in town?
Town till next Tuesday, actually. Yeah,
next Tuesday.
Yeah, an itinerary that doesn't allow for much pleasure, actually, to be honest with you. It's all go. I'm actually off to Mercy Homes this morning. Actually, we have a breakfast in a minute, and then at 11 o'clock we're going to Mercy Homes, so we'll meet the kids that'll be going out there hopefully in the summertime. But it's great, actually. We've a couple of members of the Hotel Federation with us, and they give the hotel rooms to the kids, and they put them up over the period of time they're there. And of course Cork County Council pays for the flights, and there's Derry Cronin, the coach company, he shuffles them around, so it's all hands to the pump, I suppose.
It's amazing. So a lot of these kids barely left the city, and now they get to travel outside the country and go to a place that they've never been.
It's life changing stuff.
A whole bunch of new people. Absolutely.
I met the director last night, and he was saying that some of the kids had never been outside of the city.
Not outside
the country. And
it's amazing.
It was just...
Father Scott Donahue runs Mercy. Tremendous guy.
Yeah, Scott. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I met him last night. Yeah.
Enjoy your time here, and provided you survive Sunday, I mean, I'm always available for bail money here if you need it. And
good to know. I'm going to write that down.
This is kind of a flatland area, but may the road rise to meet you, and may the wind be at your back.
And likewise to you. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you for being here.
Cheers.
And all the best to the people of County Cork. More with Bridget Gaynor in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for you.
755, Bridget Gaynor's here. I'm in day 21 of the cold that won't quit. And you have the same cold.
I do.
It's really ridiculous.
It is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
On the other side
of
the
blame you for giving it to me.
Yeah, I sort of feel like it's possible.
Yeah, it's the studio. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I mean, I would hold it against me if I were you. All right. Now, on the other side of the world, there's just a horror film playing out, and that is another nut with a gun in a country that doesn't expect the same. One of the two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, killed at least 49. There are another 10 to 20 whose lives are hanging in the balance this morning, our time. This is in a country with pretty good gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not as strict as Australia. Australia had a mass shooting a generation
right,
ago.
At school,
they took all the guns away.
Yep.
But in this case, another nut with a gun who got on Facebook, and he's a white nationalist and wrote a manifesto, and whatever miserable shortcomings he had in his own life, he decided to do this. He's alive. Some others who appear to have been involved with him have also been arrested. But lives have been changed, and the country's been changed forever. Last year, statistically, they had 48 people die from gun violence. They had 49 die yesterday.
In one day. And the whole Facebook Live aspect of it is, you know, and obviously, look, everybody, I think most people who do this, they're looking to either fill some void, self-aggrandizement, want to go out a hero, have this vision of themselves in their own mind. But the idea that you would want to put this out into the world where all of these people are going to see it. I mean, you know,
it's a crazy, you can't even wrap your head around.
No, you can't.
So with a country that has those kind of gun laws on the books that they've been able to enforce, does this reinforce the idea that you can't stop a madman, or do we need to continue to have the conversation?
Look, I think every law that you could think about passing for any number of things, you can never go to the nth percent. The idea that the most extreme example, it is in some ways unregulatable, because you can't, unless you're going to take every single gun off the street, you're not going to stop the madman. Having said that, there's a lot of people who aren't madmen who are just come at moments in their life that you can make it harder for them to do this. So it's not, this isn't an example of saying, well, obviously gun laws don't work, so why bother having them?
Mm-hmm.
Because some extreme example, you know, this case is not the exception proves the rule. If there's a whole, you know, I mean, there might have been 100 other guys who had that same idea, couldn't get access to a gun or was too complicated, and then the moment passed for them and they moved on.
Yeah, it's I agree with 100%. And it's a volume play.
Yeah.
Because the more people who can be regulated away from guns that shouldn't have guns, the better.
Right.
Legal gun owners, you should have. It should be a hard process. It should be a difficult process, and you should have to go through some government red tape to get a gun. It's a lethal weapon.
And people should know who you are. This whole idea that you shouldn't be able to have a database of people who
own
guns. It's crazy. I mean, the irony is, we fight this idea of a database, and then half the country is like handing over their DNA to some unknown entity to say, here, why don't you take all my genetic material and, track me down later for the rest of my life so I can figure out if I'm actually 100% Irish.
Well, we're pretty clear on that part.
We are pretty clear on that part.
More on St. Patrick's Day weekend coming up. First, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where you're going to find Steve in just a couple of minutes.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
What will we do with a drunken sailor? What will we do with a drunken sailor?
Ow. I just pulled. I was Irish dancing, and I pulled all the muscles in my body just now. Bridget Gaynor's here. Bridget, I'm going to ask you how you actually should host a St. Patrick's Day party, what you should have, things of that nature.
Okay.
As opposed to us hobbyists, you know, who just do it. Well, let's first go to Dean Richards, who's actually at one this morning. The WGN Morning News. News. Our live where, Dean? It's so loud, Dean can't even hear me.
Nothing like a morning St. Patrick's Day party.
Yeah, Dean, I can hear you. Can you hear me, Dean? Stay where you are. We'll find you.
Yes, I can hear you, Steve. We're at 115 Bourbon Street, the very popular Irish bar on the southwest side. It's about 115th, just like about a block west of Kedzie Avenue for our annual St. Patrick's Day broadcast. And all I can tell you, there is a lot of Bloody Mary and Budweiser being sold here this morning at this hour of the day.
Well, that's Robin. Who else is drinking?
That's just Robin. All the rest of us are waiting until the show is over.
So what sort of tomfoolery and shenanigans are in front of you right now?
Well, I just had a python around my neck. That was not expected.
No.
Is that a metaphor or like a... No,
no, I think he actually had a real python.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was an actual python that was around my neck. Because we have a petting zoo here for the kids. So you can come out and see all different kinds of animals. We have, step dancers of all kinds. We have, as you can hear behind me right now.
Wait, so there's a bunch of kids in the bar, too?
Yeah.
Isn't it a school day? Yeah.
I'm not sure what's going on. We have several different bagpiper organizations that are here this morning. So,
the Bagpipers Union is there?
We have the Mother Macaulay singers out here this morning. Lots of song, lots of dance. So, lots of fun out here this morning.
All right. Now, yesterday, I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday I basically signed us off for the week because I forgot today was Friday. Is there a movie or anything we should know about for the weekend?
I'm just stepping outside for a second because I can't hear you. All right, say that again now. Is there something from yesterday you said what?
I said yesterday I basically signed us off for the weekend, because I'm in day 21 right. of this cold.
Right, yeah, you were asking me about my Sunday show and all that
yeah,
stuff. Right?
Yeah, because, I'm old. But forgetting that today was actually still to happen. So is there a movie we should know about for the weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple of new movies that are opening this weekend. One is called Wonder Place. It's an animated film, cute little animated film about a little girl who she and her mom imagine, have fun imagining the amusement park of their dreams. And while in a magical forest, Steve, she discovers the remains of what looks like the amusement park that she and her mom had always imagined.
Oh,
so it's a nice enough family film. It's not anywhere close to like a Pixar kind of quality, animated movie. It's okay. I gave it a Dean's List B-.
Okay.
Mostly for little kids. This is not one of these animated movies where the adults are going to get a whole different level of comedy. This one's pretty much for little kids. The movie that I really like this week is called Gloria Bell, and it stars Julianne Moore and John Turturro, two of my favorite actors. And it's really like a character study of a woman who, she feels she leads a humdrum life, boring job, boring life, boring family. And at night she goes out and loves to dance and meets this guy, John Turturro, in a bar who also loves to dance, recently divorced, falls madly in love with her. The storyline and what happens in this movie isn't nearly as interesting as just watching these two amazing performances. They are such great actors, and they add so much to this movie. You just sit and watch. It's like watching a master class of acting. So Gloria Bell is the name of it. It's not in a lot of theaters, but if you see it, it's definitely worth seeing. Give it a Dean's List B+.
Okay. Those are your recommendations on the weekend. Anything new on the scholarship scandal?
I haven't heard anything today. They're really, in terms of celebrity news, there's really not that much that's going on. This horrible tragedy in New Zealand,
sure.
It's really dominating all the news this morning. So, that's pretty much it.
You're saying that's even bigger than Lori Loughlin being fired from Fuller House?
No, it's even bigger Hallmark. Than any celebrity story that may be going on right now. Entertainment-wise, it's all about St. Patrick's Day weekend with, celebrations. The Irish American Heritage Center on the northwest side, they've been going strong for about a week now, and they continue through the whole weekend with music and dancing and fun, and they may have some alcoholic beverages there to serve
what?
As well.
I don't know that that's been cleared.
Yeah, I want to, because I'm on the south side of this morning at 115 Bourbon Street, I wanted to give a shout-out to the County Fair Grocery Store.
Mm.
It's the grocery store that sells more corned beef than any other store in Chicago.
Okay,
it seems like a relevant St. Patrick's Day fun fact.
Bridget, you seem to know it well.
I do. County Fair is on 108th and Western, and it's been the local grocery store for, ever since I've been alive. And they have, the great thing about them is family-owned store, and they've stayed to compete with Mariano's and now the new Whole Foods. And, it's because they know exactly who they're selling to. But
sure.
It's also like a hub for the entire neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a great, it's such a big part of this community. When I live in the neighborhood, we grew up at 109th and Artesian, which is right around the block from it. County Fair was the store to go to then, and everybody in the neighborhood still goes there.
I may stop and pick up a little corned beef myself on the way home today.
Corned beef to go. Gas to go. All right, so listen, enjoy the weekend. We'll let you get back to your Channel 9 knuckleheads, but thanks for the update.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Be safe.
That's Moron Entertainment's own Dean Richards right there. Right there, live.
Well, they look like they're having quite the party out there.
They really do.
It's outside, too.
It's 8:17. Bridget Gaynor's here. All right, so what are you supposed to have at a St. Patrick's Day party?
Well, clearly a petting zoo. I didn't know that before today.
You don't pet a python.
With a python.
Yeah. Yeah. With a python.
Make up your own jokes.
Is that like a new tradition?
You don't pet the python.
No, you don't.
You know, jokes aside.
Did you see how close the python got to the possum, by the way?
There was a python? Yeah, a possum, but the python?
The possum was near the python. Mm.
Say but the python eat the possum?
No, but the python, the possum looked a little bit scared.
I would be, you know, because that's dinner.
It is.
Bridget, what do you need a particular beverage?
I think you could have a variety. To me, the biggest part about having St. Patrick's Day party is the music. So you got to have great music. You actually have a great bar and then great food, and that's all you really need.
Great music, meaning the OJs.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Concrete Blonde.
Yeah. Do you have to have traditional Irish music?
I think so. The thing I love about the best parties that we go to, especially around this time, is there's enough music and then people get up and sing their own song. They call it having a party piece. Like, what's a song that I can get up and sing and people go around the room and then everyone's a part of it?
So long before karaoke.
Long before karaoke.
There was Have a Party Piece?
Have a Party Piece.
And sing your own song. What's your go-to?
There's a couple good it depends on the party. There's Parting Glass is a great one. Retirement party, funeral, wake, you know, that's a good one. It's about departing this world. There's a ton. Fields of Athenry. I mean, there's a bunch of good ones that lend themselves. Just getting started.
All right, Blackhawks coming up. We're going to talk to Brendan Perlini in just a second.
The record leads it for Perlini. He scores! A hat trick for Brendan Perlini with 3.6 seconds left in the hockey game. It's the Hawks 7 and the Coyotes 1.
3, 2, 1.
Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Let's go live to Brendan Perlini. He's in the zone, baby. Hottest player on the Hawks. Hottest player. You know what, Dave? I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
Hottest player in the history of hockey. Right now, Brendan Perlini.
Well, certainly this week he is the hottest player in the history of hockey.
And no pressure at all, Brendan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing? I don't know about that comment there. But...
Yeah, a little too much, you think? A little too over the top?
I'll take it, though. I'll take it and roll with it. I'll just add it to the confidence.
Here's the thing. Golfers talk about this a lot. I play golf. Golfers talk about this all the time. I get in the zone maybe once a year, but the game slows down. It goes. It's weird. It's faster, but the game slows down. You see the shot you're going to hit. You execute it. Baseball players talk about the ball slows down. They see the pitch. Basketball players go, I just know I'm going to make it when I get it. What's it like being in the zone when you're in hockey?
It's a lot of fun, you know. To be honest, I don't really think of it as that. I mean, recently I've just been enjoying my hockey and, really just kind of staying light with my attitude and everything like that. And I think it helped, obviously, that we're winning. So, it's been a lot of fun. Just coming to the rink every day and working hard and trying to get better with these guys and stuff. And, that's pretty much it. I don't really, can't really say too much about the whole zone part and all that, but it's just about really enjoying it for me.
Well, you're a reason that this team is winning right now, and I want to go back to Monday and your first career hat trick, which came with all of 4 seconds left in the third period. I think you got your third goal, but there's a video that has, I don't know if it's gone viral, but I guess it's your dad lighting up a cigar after you scored your third goal. What's the backstory?
Yeah, it was. Well, I didn't even really know anything. My mom said it to me after, and I guess a couple years ago when I first come into the league, my rookie year, when I was with Phoenix, we did a father's trip, and they gave all the dads cigars, and most of them light them up and stuff, but my dad said, I'm going to wait, so I'm going to light this up. But he's not a smoker or anything, so he said, I'm going to light this when you get your first hat trick. And sure enough, you know, long story behold, a couple years later, end up getting traded and playing against them and scored against them. So it's quite funny.
Can you keep this going when you get to Montreal?
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, just like I said earlier, just having fun, enjoying the game right now. And, you know, for us, we got only a few games left, really. So as long as we keep just doing our thing and having fun and playing hard, you never know what can happen.
One other thing about your third goal the other night, your goal celebration. And I guess there's a little bit of a story there also, how you came up with that.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I like to kind of just have fun with that stuff and do whatever. Some guys don't really like to do it, but I did that one in the Winter Classic when I scored two, and it was one soccer guy does it.
Well, describe it for people who haven't seen it.
So. Yeah, this guy used to play for Manchester United, Memphis Depay, and he always does it, and it's kind of, I don't know, take whatever you want from it. Some people think it's whatever, like you just put your ears like nobody can hear you, and I like it just because it's, you know, something different in the hockey world anyway, and it's something to just say from the guys always usually from the last head, but yeah, it's, you know, a big pull or whatever, we'll try and pull out something different like that.
We got a MB Financial Bank's listener question of the day. It says, and by the way, this comes from somebody in Plainfield. Here it is. Andrew says, what's it make you feel like being a Chicago Blackhawk player on the greatest original six team of all time?
It's cool. It's definitely different. I mean, coming from a place out in Arizona where, you know, it's not as historic of a franchise and all that, you know, with the history and all that, it's very different playing in Chicago. It's awesome. The fans have been unbelievable every single game, and it's a great city too. So I've really enjoyed my time here so far, and you know, things have been pretty good as of lately. And you know, for us, we just got to keep really working. Hopefully they can get a lot better, sneak into the playoffs, and then have maybe a good run.
Yeah, why not? Why not this team? Why not now? Why not start this whole thing over?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no reason, right? Might as well just play and have fun and keep playing.
What is your go-to shot? What's the shot you love to hit most?
Playing golf or hockey?
And hockey.
Sounded like you were talking about my driver there.
No, but I'll see you on the golf course.
In hockey, I don't know. I don't think there's any particular one. I would just say my wrist shot in general. I wouldn't say top right or blah, blah, blah. Like, I would just say wrist shot.
So you say something in the net works for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Something that hits the back of the net. That's where it goes. It's Brendan Perlini. Man, keep it going. We got to get 9 out of these last 12, but I'm going to give you the cliche so you don't have to say it. You're just going to take them one game at a time.
Pretty much. I mean, that's all you can do. You start looking forward and get a little bit caught up in things and go from there. But, yeah, as long as we just keep having fun and keep enjoying our hockey right now, you never know what can happen.
All right, buddy. Thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brendan.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Brendan Perlini. How would you describe the goal celebration? Because I don't know that I've seen it. His phone kind of fuzzed out when he was talking about it.
Yeah, it's got to do with sort of that holding his hands up to his ears kind of thing.
Like he can't hear the crowd? Like, let me hear it? That kind of thing?
Yeah, I'll go back and watch.
All right, and give us a full verbal explanation.
Yeah, the Blackhawks are 6 points behind Arizona, his former team, with 12 to play, and they've got a game in hand on the Coyotes, and they play at Arizona a week from Tuesday.
Well, that could be a big game.
That could be a very big game.
Yeah. So, got to get it done in Montreal tomorrow night. That's next up. Got a few more minutes of Bridget Gaynor coming up as well. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend. Oh, Justin Kaufman's going to join us to plug his new show. And I have tickets for the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. Why don't we go seventh caller now to win a pair of those? Seventh caller now at 312-981-7200. I'll tell you what you get when you get it. Chicago Flower and Garden Show tickets. Free from me to you. I'm a giver, you're a taker. And the headlines are next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 8:41. Bridget Gaynor's here. We keep coming back to this education scam story of the week. Both Lori Loughlin and her husband, Massimo, the fashion icon, and also Felicity Huffman have all paid their bail and they're out, and their court dates will be coming up. The two Lori Loughlin daughters have dropped out of USC, or maybe were asked to leave. Bridget, one of my favorite stories was one of the women in the story was a mom who had written a series of books about parenting, including one about not helicopter parenting.
Right. Because you want to let your kids make their own bad decisions.
Right. She's obviously hiding in plain sight.
Well, the thing about it is an 18-year-old probably can't make as epically bad decision as engineering and complete fraud. So.
Well, the daughter, Olivia Jade... Not breaking down DNA in the basement. She's a pretty girl who had managed to find 1 million or 2 million followers and had deals with Amazon and Sephora and other things. That's a career now.
It is.
I don't know that she needed to go to school. So that's why I keep coming back to the same thing. Parents want to be able to go to the party. Some parents want to be able to go to the party. And what are your kids doing? Oh, my kids are at USC. They want to be able to tell that story.
Well, I mean, look, you just look back now and think you made this decision, but the kid's 18 years old. They absolutely knew what was happening. And now, for the rest of their life, the first thing that comes up on Google about them is going to be this thing.
Yep.
No one's ever going to think anything differently about
felon, daughter of felon, son of felon.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's heartbreaking, but we were just talking at the break. There's 18-year-olds going off to fight the war in Afghanistan. So, right. I mean, it's hard to really feel like, oh, now this poor kid has made their life terrible. They made a choice, and it was a bad one.
What about the idea that private schools that all pass themselves off as not-for-profit institutions engaged in these scams don't need a complete proctological exam top to bottom financially?
Well, I mean, look, if you're getting a tax benefit from the government, then you got to make it an even playing field. And private schools have always been a separate market, but, you know, I mean, it's bananas to me that they can go on and act like these rules don't apply to them and donations let people get in. And it's one thing to be an athlete and a student athlete. It's another thing to have a rich parent. And then it's another thing to commit fraud. So.
And they're going on at the best institutions in the country. Mm-hmm. Now, sports, we've known this has gone on in sports forever. But I think one of the reasons this has resonated with people is because this is the, quote, regular student population where slots were taken away from regular kids. So you got some kid from a middle-class family who's busted his or her butt,
yep.
You know, who knocked out 2,100 or 2,200 on the SATs, and they didn't get in because Olivia Jade made the crew team, I'd be upset, too.
But also, you want to say, your kid's going to have a great life.
Absolutely.
Like, don't worry about it so much. Your kid's going to have a great life regardless of where they went to school,
because
you're doing great, and you're going to be able to help them out. So.
And have you ever met an adult who had the full four-year college experience that went, oh, it sucked? Most people go, no, my college experience was great. I went to what a great town because it's such an amazing 4 years of your life.
It's good times. Well, who knows? I mean, they've taken something wonderful and made it not so, but maybe it makes people change how they think about this stuff.
So what do you do in the meeting at Lifetime? If you're Lori Loughlin's start player, she's your A-team go-to.
I think you say, how do we make a movie about the college scandal?
Right? It makes sense, but am I wrong about this? I don't see a lot of Lifetime films. But the bad guy or the bad girl on Lifetime films is never all that evil, are they?
Well, mostly, because I think if you made the Lifetime movie, what would happen is you would find out later that she was like grew up in the town of the college, and she had to be a waitress in the cafeteria, and all her life aspired. And so then it would have a warm ending.
The character arc of someone who made a mistake,
right?
But they shouldn't have done, but it was for the right reasons.
Right. I mean, look, I think when we look at this stuff, these guys committed a crime, and they're getting tons of the benefit of the doubt. A, they have money, they get out of jail, they don't have to wait, they'll get great lawyers. lots of people make stupid mistakes and they don't have those benefits and they end up sitting in county jail or some other jail.
Sure.
Or, you know, and not that that's something to aspire to. It's just, it's easier to feel sorry for these people because we feel like we know them a little bit because they've been in your living room.
What if you are a professor or, you know, a part-time professor and, you know, maybe making okay money, but you're not making a lot of money. And somebody knocks on your door and says, I can get you $250,000 and you got to move this pile of papers from here over here.
I think, do I want to be employed for the rest of my life?
Right. I mean, it's a real test of character at that point.
Yeah. Well, so. And that was the test for these kids. I'm going to fly to L.A. and put you in a room and you're going to take a test and there's going to be somebody there looking at all of your answers. Don't think that's weird. You know. And I realize,
why aren't the other kids doing that, Daddy?
It's probably hard for a kid to push back on their parents, but it's also, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. If you take the easy, you know, there's the hard right and the easy wrong. And this is
no matter where you are.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Economically. Dave, what's going to happen to that coach that took, I think it was $500,000, but put it back into the program at the school? Do you know the story? This is a coach in the middle of this scandal who got, I don't know, several hundred thousand dollars and took the money. But didn't keep the money.
Right. Didn't keep all the money. He kept some of the money.
He kept a little, but then to like alleviate his guilt or something, he put some of it back in the school.
Yeah. And right now he's trying to stay on.
Right.
And trying to keep his... He's asking that he be allowed to coach. So...
That seems like a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're the trustees, you go, well, you kept some of the money.
How about some, you know, NCAA recruit takes a dinner or something from a recruiter and gets totally bounced out of the program.
Right.
Which could be a very honest mistake.
Sure.
You know, that's...
Well, Dave, you know this. The NCAA rules, the arcane NCAA rules are insane.
Those kids need a union. That is, for me, the NCAA, when it comes to men's basketball and football and these highly profitable sports, the idea... that these young people get nothing long term. They're not even guaranteed a full 4 years of college.
Yep.
I mean, that is...
coach that recruited you, that got you to go to that school, can leave at any time because he's offered multi-million dollars to go somewhere else.
Right. He's bonused on you coming and choosing and you playing, and then he can, you know, take that and leave. When that kid from Northwestern was pushing on the union issue, I think that's the only way to move the needle with the NCAA.
You know who can fix all this? Justin Kaufman. Justin Kaufman is standing by. I guess he's enjoying getting up late now. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. I want to be the first to say happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I'm going to put you in the Wayback Machine and get that done.
Yeah. Oh, it's not today. I thought it was today.
No, actually, you were one of the first people to text, so that was nice of you. I appreciate that. Right. That's the world happy we live in now, buddy. The text happy birthdays.
It's been so long. I mean, the last show was Friday. It feels like it was 5 years ago. Dave, do you still have your goatee, Dave? I haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's shaved with his Harry's razor.
We're looking forward to a reunion party. For those of you that missed the memo, Justin Kaufman tonight will have his first show in the relaunch of Extension 720, the show made famous by Milt Rosenberg for all those years. No pressure on you, pal.
It's fun because, just going through the archive tapes and listening a little to Milt, and, you know, that show was launched in May of 1968. And it ran to the beginning of this decade, and Milt was the host for almost the entirety of it. There were a couple of hosts right at the beginning that did it, like maybe for a very short stint before Milt took over. It's tremendous to see the breadth and just the overall canon of work to do that show every single day and every single night. And it's daunting to look at. I mean, what a legend to be able to do that. There's no way I could fill those shoes. For me, I'm just going to put on old tapes of Milt and see what happens.
Not quite. You might hear a highlight or two, but who are your guests?
Tonight, Alex Kotlowitz is my guest. He's the main guest where he's the author of An American Summer, Life and Death in Chicago, which is a new book, which is really outstanding. It's a book about he followed families and people on the south side of Chicago, west side of Chicago, in the summer of 2013. And, it focuses on gun violence, but what it does is it's less about the victims of gun violence and more about the people left behind. And it's sort of a look at what they call complex loss. It's more than PTSD. It's what happens to families, to the survivors, to sometimes the shooters themselves, and just the impact of violence and the trauma on those communities. And Alex is an award-winning journalist. He's done so much for the city. He did There Are No Children Here, which was a great book in the early 90s about public housing projects. And he has just been a tremendous journalist, and this is his new work. So we're talking with him. Also, Kenan Thompson from SNL will be.
Oh, nice.
Well. Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
So lots of good stuff. Yeah. And a lot of good. I mean, it's. You know, I did the show at night, The Download, for a long time, so I know the listeners there, and I know the nighttime feel, and it's fun to get back at it and take some of the stuff that I learned from that show, and also you know, some of the stuff I'm learning from Milt and Extension 720, and create something new. It's an extension of Extension 720, if you will. Steve, see what I did there?
See, I did see what you did there. And before I let you go, is there a roadmap to how many times we're going to be able to hear you? Because with baseball, it gets weird. I know.
Yeah, baseball is going to get weird. So I'm kind of approaching it like a weekly show, even though it's a daily show. It's every night. But the White Sox, of course, play a lot of baseball games in the summer. So I'm preempted when the White Sox are playing. But I'm approaching it like, I know I have, it feels like it's two or three shows a week, and I'm approaching it like a weekly show, which gives Pete and I a little bit more time to think about what we want to put on the show, how the segments connect, go out in the field and do some stuff that to bring some audio and some production to the show that we couldn't do if it was a daily show. So in a way, it makes the product a little bit more sustaining, having the ability to think of it that way, as opposed to, as you know, every single day where you're just kind of in the meat grinder.
The coal mining that we do every morning here.
That's right. That's
oh, how do we do it? Does your wardrobe change at all because it's nights? Do you wear more of a club shirt, maybe unbuttoned to the waist, that kind of a look?
Yeah, it's a club shirt and then a tweed jacket. It's all tweed.
Oh, that's true, because you are doing Extension 720.
Yeah, it's Extension 720. So it's a throwback to tweed. It's a little bit of, it's tweed pants, it's tweed shirts.
Do you have a pipe?
Yeah, I got to get a pipe. I'm going to go to the. It's a vape pen. You know, it's 2019. There's no more pipes.
Right, that's right. You're upgrading the look.
I have a vape pen. Right.
Good luck, man. I know you're going to be great at this.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Great to talk to you guys.
All right, there you go. That's Justin Kaufman.
Take care,
Justin Kaufman, your new host for Extension 720. Did you ever appear on the show?
I don't think so. I was on his. I was on Justin's other show, though.
But how about Milt? Did you ever appear on Milt?
Never Milt.
Milt never had you on. Milt would have liked you.
I was just saving myself for Steve Cochran.
Thank you very much.
I think what it came up to.
Appreciate that. Because Milt and I would have fought over you.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Couple more minutes with Bridget. 8:52. And then after 9 o'clock, Rick Renteria will join us, Dave. You know, Dave, I don't know if you heard. He's the manager of the Chicago White Sox.
He is the manager of the Chicago White Sox. He'll join us from Arizona, which makes sense because that's where they are.
Well, look how we put all that together. Yeah. Bridget Gaynor's here. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, lots going on. So tonight, Irish Fellowship dinner. Tomorrow, downtown parade, marching in the parade. We're number 11. Anyone wants to march in the parade? You never been in St. Patrick's Day parade? Come join us. We'll be out on Columbus and Balboa. And then Sunday, it starts out on the south side. We have mass at Willie Winter's house, a person on the block I grew up on. Then we head up to the Northwest Side parade, and we have a float up there and a bunch of people marching with us. So
basically you're kicking back to get over
kicking
this cold.
Kicking back to get over the cold, taking it easy.
Well, take care of the family.
I will.
Give your dad a hug from all of us.
I will. Thank you for that.
And have a great and happy St. Patrick's
Day. Yeah, you too.
Thanks for coming over.
Thank you.
See you next Friday.
Yep, absolutely.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Final hour of the week. Well, I don't mean that in a scary, dark way. I mean, it's the final hour of the show for the week.
Right.
Sounded kind of scary. Yeah. It's a weird week. Dave's going to actually have a weekend off this weekend. We wished you didn't.
I'd rather be working, but that's okay.
But Dave, basically, from August until March or April, doesn't get a weekend off. But you have fun.
Oh, I no complaints.
Calling football, calling basketball.
Yeah.
Now they're both over, so what are you going to do?
Drive his wife nuts.
My taxes.
Oh,
good times. Yeah. We are the White Sox Station, White Sox Radio, and every pitch of every inning will be here, as you know. And Ricky Renteria is the manager, and he joins us live from the desert where it's good and early. You an early riser, Skip?
I am, just out of, I guess, by nature.
Always helps.
Necessity.
Yeah, sure. Helps to get up early, especially when the kids are waiting good and early and itching to get jobs. Who's really impressed you this spring that you didn't see coming?
That I didn't see coming? Mendick. Danny Mendick. Hmm. Yeah, young man that had a nice fall league last year. Really solid player all the way around. I think Yohan has done a really nice job this spring. He's looking good at third base. Made some adjustments and continues to improve. And you know, everybody's holding their own and trying to get themselves ready.
You know, it all comes down to pitching in the end when you're really going to compete. How are you feeling about the staff?
I'm feeling good about them. I think Lucas and Lopi and the things that they've done and gained in terms of experience and knowledge over the last couple of years are going to help them. Rodon's looked fine. Thank goodness, I knock on wood here, healthy and climbing, as Coop says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had a number of guys who kind of took a big step last year. Obviously, Rodon was one of them from a pitching standpoint. Daniel Palka became a contributor for you from an offensive standpoint in the outfield. It's I know it's a gradual process. Doesn't all happen overnight, but have you seen those guys continue to make the kind of progress you need to see?
Yes, I think they have. I think you're right. You know, Palka came in last year kind of establishing himself as a big time guy with pop. You know, we hope to continue to have him continue to improve his defensive skill set. He's been working very, very hard. I know he was down for a little bit, but he's doing well. I do think that I expect Yohan to have a nice season this year. I think Pito's going to be solid. He's been working really hard through the year here this spring, and everybody else that we have in camp has been doing a nice job. So we're just kind of rolling along and waiting for the season to start so that we see where we're really at. But I think every person that we've had over the last couple of years is starting to take some strides, and obviously we look forward to the additions in the future.
You know, you only got a couple of weekends left. We're going to be out there next weekend to see the team and check out your tan lines before we come back and do it for real. Super Joe, we're going to abandon Super Joe, our technical producer back here, but Joe Romano may be the biggest White Sox fan in the building. Joe, you got a question for Ricky Renteria?
I sure do. Hey, Ricky, a lot of focus has been on Yoan Moncada's move to third base, but I was wondering where you have him penciled in the order. I know a lot last year he was up in the order against righties, down in the order against lefties. Is there going to be a little more consistency with that this year?
I think we still are going to continue to roll with the matchup, depending on who's starting and where we use him. But to your point, he's made some nice strides this spring with his right-handed at-bats versus lefties. I still think that we have to try to manage that. We have, in John Jay and some of the other guys, the ability to be able to put them at the top of the order. But, I'd like to ultimately see, to be honest with you, if Yohan can manage it through both sides of the box, to see him in the two-hole. I think that would be a good spot for him, and I think ultimately that's what he will be.
Ricky, you had to give some guys the word this week that they were either being optioned to Charlotte or reassigned to minor league camp, including some of your top prospects going down. What's that conversation like when you tell an Eloy Jimenez or a Dylan Cease or somebody that they're not going to start camp with they're not going to start the season out of camp with the big club?
Well, I think those messages, when we get them in here, we have, several people in here. It's an encouraging message. Obviously, they're not going to break with us, but they're going to go down and continue to grind and get themselves ready to hopefully join us somewhere down the road. Continue to work on the things that they were working on here. Remain positive, control all those things that they can control, and keep, striving for excellence, continue to improve. And, before you know it, you never know, you'll see them in a major league uniform. But all the guys that we talked to have been great. We talked to them a little bit about how they've enjoyed camp, what they've seen, what they've learned, if they have any input, what they'd like to express. And then, we go on to tell them what we'd like them to continue to work on when they go down there. And obviously, we'll be watching them.
How many years of spring training is this for you now in all facets of the big leagues?
Oof. 39, I think.
39.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's your go-to for dinner in Arizona in the greater Phoenix area?
Oh, that's a good one. We have a place here by where we live called New York Times. There's a little restaurant also called Bella Luna on Litchfield.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, you know, we'll get over to Fleming's every now and then. So, and most of the times it's at home, but, you know, try to recover. Rest.
What are you doing for an off day?
Yesterday we had some family in town, so we...
That's not an off day. An off day isn't family in town.
Yesterday, actually, you know, didn't come to the park. We've had two off days this spring, and yesterday I took it off. You know, I had to apologize to some of my coaches who did come in with some of the pitching that we had to continue to do with Coop and Hass. And, you know, they do a great job. All these guys do a great job. I'm so appreciative of what they do. So, you know, they pick up a lot of my slack.
Yeah, if Coop would just come out of his shell, he'd be fine, don't you think?
Yeah.
You got a good bunch there. Hey, we're looking forward to the season and obviously looking forward to having every pitch of every inning of every White Sox baseball game. But we'll see you next weekend in the desert.
Thank you. We're hoping to give everybody something to listen to that's positive. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick.
That's Ricky Renteria, manager for your Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, we'll see him next weekend.
Yeah. Now, I thought I'd go over in Short Sheeta's hotel room, but I forgot he's got a house there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it would be good to go into his house.
Probably not advisable. So, probably some security system. And then, hey, what if I leave like an eggplant out front with Anarchy A in it or something?
Been done.
Yeah, that's probably true. All right, I'm out of ideas. It's 9:18. We'll come back, do more. The Steve Cochran Show continues on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Grzanich, bottom of the hour. We'll update you on any new information coming out of New Zealand. A nightmare this morning, overnight our time, and Friday their time, when two mosques were shot up by a coward with an automatic weapon. There are three or four people arrested in this now and held. The shooter is still alive, but 49 have died. Only 48 died all of 2018. By in gun violence in New Zealand. 49 died yesterday. It's incomprehensible. And it was all broadcast on Facebook Live. You know, Steve Grzanich, you're going to have this in the news. There are key words. The way Facebook and Twitter and really all your social media sites keep creeps off or try to keep creeps off are keywords. So they try to identify the keywords that they could be using in posts. And those keywords would flash those particular posts to be seen, right? Am I right about that?
Well, it's partly right. There's an algorithm that'll find some of that stuff with artificial intelligence, but there are actually real people that sit and watch all of these feeds and try to weed some of this stuff out. And so there are humans that have the ability to shut this stuff down right away.
So is they're watching it in real time of people that might be suspect?
Well, yeah, I mean, videos, and I guess there's some sort of artificial intelligence. I can't explain this technically because I'm not that smart, but artificial intelligence finds something in the video that's offensive and alerts a human being to it, and that human being can immediately shut it down.
These videos that these folks see, there was a story a couple of weeks ago now, I think in The Atlantic, about these Facebook monitors who have to watch this stuff.
Who have, it's like PTSD.
It's incredibly depressing and hard to do and a really, really difficult job.
Yeah, that said, though, this thing went on live on Facebook for 17 minutes before it was shut down by Facebook.
So my question is, and I don't understand the technology, obviously, but my question is, if you can keyword something or develop AI to question videos that stream them to live people, couldn't you do that with violence? I mean, if the point being, the minute this goes on, there should be some way to trigger when gun violence happens that the thing is shut down.
There has to be. I mean, because also they know immediately when there's a copyright violation in your video, whether it's music or whether you post a video of Saturday Night Live, for instance, or something else that's copywritten. If you've ever tried to do that on YouTube, it comes down immediately. It's blocked almost immediately. So I think that's the debate that we're going to be having. And the other thing that's happening today with this, Steve, is that people who apparently saw this video were able to record it somehow, or they were able to download it before Facebook deleted it. And those people are now trying to upload it in some instances again to YouTube and to other places.
Why?
And I, good, very good question.
You know, I mean, why? Yeah. This horrific thing. Why would you want more people to see it? Why would you want to pass it on? The discussion on gun laws will continue. New Zealand had some very good gun laws on the books They weren't enough to stop this particular lunatic. It doesn't mean the laws are inappropriate or won't change things. We just got to keep working at it. And like any major problem, and this is a major problem, is you try to reduce the likelihood of incidents happening, and then you got to hope for the best. I know it sounds trite, but it really does come down to that. All right, Steve will update you here in a couple of minutes. It's 9:26 on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Why are we here? What's life all about? Is God really real? Or is there some doubt? Well, tonight, we're going to sort it all out. For tonight, it's the meaning of life.
The meaning of life.
What's the point?
My friend Paul Coit is scheduled to appear on the show. We're working on that right now. In the meantime, I want to say goodbye and good life to Elaine Ristich. You know Dr. Sam Ristich, our friend, the veterinarian?
Sure.
Yeah.
Dr. Sam's mom passed this week.
Very sorry.
Services will be on Sunday. Longtime member of St. Anne Catholic Church. Loved the wheel. The Wheel of Fortune. Big Sajak watcher.
Or maybe she liked Vanna.
Or it could be Vanna.
Mm-hmm.
But Sam's one of my good friends in life, and if he'd told me that, I would have hooked him up with Pat. I know Pat a little bit. Vanna has a restraining order against me. she's a good lady. Really good lady. Love this show. Love this radio station. Listen to WGN all the time. And I was in, you know, a lot of hurt in the past, in the recent past, because you've been sick for a while. But it's always tough to say goodbye, no matter if you expect it to come in or not.
No question.
Mm-hmm. So for the Ristich family and the extended family and everybody that knew and loved Elaine, God bless you. We're thinking about you. And her husband, Sam's dad, Sam Sr., he passed, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, a year or two ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and he was a big fan. He was a big fan of the show. So
maybe that's why Sam's not going to come on anymore, because, you know, his parents can't listen.
Yeah, because Sam would tell his mom he's playing golf and go, with Steve Cochran?
Yeah. He had a good excuse.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, anyway, Elaine, God bless you, and the whole Ristich family.
Hey, speaking of golf, by the way, Tiger Woods is on a birdie spree at the Players' Championship, and he's within two of the lead now.
How about that?
Three under through seven holes.
He's a big Friday player, Tiger is.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, no question. Our friend Paul Coit joins us live from London. London's in a hot mess because of Brexit. Hi, buddy.
Hi, Steve. How are you? How did you start for yesterday?
Thank you very much for that. And I usually am a week or two late for your birthday, so one day doesn't matter.
You
plus, you texted me last night.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did what I can. Well, was that on the day? Was that right? It was yesterday?
It was yesterday. And happy birthday to you. When was yours?
About 2 weeks ago now. But thank you.
This is what guys do. All right. Now, here's the thing. I am worried. I'm worried for your country. Why can't you? You told me the day after the Brexit vote, people didn't know what they were voting for. They thought it was some sort of, a non-binding referendum. They didn't know it was real. Why can't you do it over?
Well, it's not so much that. It's just that I think they were confused. I think there was a lot of, listen, this is what's going to happen. If you vote to stay, you're going to be poor. You're going to lose all your money. But if you leave, everything's going to be fantastic. So that was what happened most of the time. A lot of people didn't really know what they were voting for. And now nobody understands what's going on at all, including me, quite frankly. Nobody understands. Everybody's confused. Even people in Parliament are confused now what's going on. We just don't know.
So where does this go? Because if you don't do a do-over vote, you've got to figure out a way to leave. The EU, the European Union, is hurt, obviously. It's like a bad breakup. The European Union is going, well, you don't want to go out with me? I don't want to go out with you. We don't want you back. So what happens?
Well, it looks like we're not now leaving at the end of the month. We've now got an extension. This is what's been put in. So we're looking like June. So then what happens in between, we don't know, because nobody's going to change their mind. Everybody still thinks the same way, so still everybody's confused. Some people are still saying there's not going to be another referendum. So what we're going to do is we put it off till June. And then when June comes, we'll put it off till like October. And then we'll just keep going like that, hopefully, until everybody forgets what's going on.
Right, and they just go, well, it's fine. We're still in the EU. And here's the thing.
What was Brexit again? What was it? Did we do this a couple of years ago? We did this. Well, we stand. I mean, well, let's just keep going as we are.
And the problem is, as I understand it, Paul, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the problem is you'd have to unwind all these rules and things that have been in place for a generation. How you deal with money, how you deal with travel, how you deal with rules and regulations from country to country, imports, exports, all those things. They all would have to be redone. And so far, Prime Minister May can't find the right deal.
She's trying to speak to everyone. How about this? What are you saying, man? This is what we're going to do. And then it's like, no, we don't like it. Well, what do you want to do? We don't know because you're the Prime Minister. So then we'll go up and then we'll have a little idea. So, honestly, everybody is so confused to ask anybody here. And when the big vote came, I think everybody would be watching TV. Nobody really was because it's everybody's just like Brexited out. It's just a disaster. In fact, we're going to live over there. Is that okay? Everybody's going to come over to you now.
Yeah, well, listen, you come over here, it's not exactly like we figured it out. All right, so let's move on, and good luck. By the way, are you legitimately worried? Because I'm worried.
Yeah, I am a little bit worried. I am a bit worried. I just don't know where it's going to go. Everybody's just extremely confused. Honestly, it is a state of confusion. Yesterday, all these votes going through in Parliament, and you've got news people outside the House of Parliament, all were ready to do the broadcast. Then they have MPs, and then they'll get a member of Parliament will come in and then say, what do you think? And then they'll say, well, in true MP fashion or true politicians fashion, we'll just start coming up with a load of nonsense and just talking the way round nothing. And I said, well, are you going to say anything about it? No, actually, what they're saying is, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on. In a way, that sounds like they do have an idea. Pretty much like I'm doing with you right now. It's exactly the same thing.
All right, so no one has any idea what's going on in London. That's a real confidence builder for us here.
No, nothing at all. No idea whatsoever.
Okay. All right.
They do know when that new baby's coming.
Yeah, what's the deal on the baby with Meghan Markle? We're a month away?
Yeah, that's pretty close. You know, that's pretty close. But in fact, things are going so weirdly with Brexit. Now, that's been delayed until next autumn. So she's going to have to hold on to that for a while because we're not ready for it yet.
She's looking pretty big. I don't think she can wait that much longer.
She's going to hang on. She'll just have to hang on because we're not ready for it yet.
Cross your legs really, really tightly.
Hang on.
Now, you are appearing every single day on something called Talk Sport 2. What is Talk Sport 2?
Talk Sport 2, it's a sports station where it's talking about the sports that's going on with me just going off talking at random things at random times. But it's what it is. It's a huge sports radio station in the UK.
I have tried to listen to podcasts of sorts of you on your show, and I haven't been able to find them. So I've heard clips of shows going back to when you were doing the midday show and the afternoon show. So I want our listeners to be able to find you. What's the best way to do that?
Try talksport.co.uk is the website. And then you'll have to listen live. That's the only way is listen live. Because the thing is, I never do anything good enough to go on to the podcast. So the only way is to actually listen live. And then that gets you an idea of what I do, I think. I think that's probably, and I'll be honest, that's probably the right thing.
Talksport.co.uk.
.co.uk, although that UK may disappear to be .eu. But we really don't know at the moment. We'll just have to see how things go. But at the moment, it's .co.uk.
I'm just worried about Meghan Markle crossing her legs for another year.
Oh, me too.
All right, so a couple of things before you go. The Premier League, who's your winner going to be?
Manchester City. As much as it pains me, Manchester City, it probably will be, who Tottenham Hotspur have just plans to play in the next round of the Champions League in Europe, which is a bit of a worry because they're the best side. So that's it'll probably be Manchester City, I think, yes.
Yeah, and the Spurs have had a couple really painful losses recently to teams they should have beaten badly.
I know.
Nobody's more angry about that than Paul, who works for the team. I saw a couple of interesting pieces this week. We'll leave you on the language you speak versus the language that we speak, which is always a good time.
Yes.
I saw a piece on the nicknames of the Queen. Now, the Queen's official title is Her Royal Highness Princess Elizabeth of York. That's her title.
Now, where do you hear that from? They're nonsense. Well, Princess Elizabeth of York?
Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Royal family. Yeah, yeah. Her father was Prince Albert, Duke of York. She was officially titled Her Royal Highness Princess Elizabeth of York. That was her original title.
Originally. Originally, yeah, before she was the queen, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't
very
make that clear.
Very early on, yeah.
Yeah.
Very early on, yeah.
I didn't know she had nicknames. What do they call her? The Hat? The Corgi Keeper? Keeper of the Corgis? What do they call her?
Well, really, the only thing I can think of that we just call it is Ma'am or Ma'am or Your Royal Highness. It's probably Your Majesty. Is probably, that's what you do. If you're going to be a bit casual, you'd probably just maybe curtsy and salute at the time and say, Your Majesty. That's probably, that's if we get a bit flippant about it, to
okay.
be honest with you.
All right. And if you want to get really flippant, we don't have time to get into all the other words that I have prepared for you. But the one thing that makes Paul most uncomfortable is the word bollocks. Whenever I say bollocks,
please.
Bollocks, bollocks, bollocks. Bollocks is...
if all these years, if I even thought that while I was on the air, I'd never work again.
If you say
and
bollocks...
And you are just flippantly throwing that word around. Unbelievable.
I'll use it in a sentence. Paul doesn't like when I say bollocks. Bollocks, bollocks, bollocks. Bollocks means... bollocks is just something you can't say on the radio or TV in London without being fired.
Yeah, I thought about it there for about half a second there when you were about to explain it. I mean, what you would say, though, is if something's really, really bad, you go, what a load of bollocks.
Mm-hmm.
That's you would say, and really, I can't believe I'm asking to say that on the air. In fact, I'll censor myself from now on.
I'm going to have to call the Queen and tell her that you just said bollocks. All right, buddy, I love you, and I'll be in touch. Again, it's talksport.co.uk. I'll call you this weekend.
There you go. Bless you, and happy birthday to yesterday. You are the best. Thank you.
Happy birthday 2 weeks ago to you. That's my friend Paul Coyne. Could you make him some of your famous cookies or cakes, and I'll send them to him?
I don't know. Should I write bollocks cookies?
Absolutely. That'd be fantastic.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, we talked about Dave's weekend off. I mentioned I have to go to, or not have to, I will be attending the Ristich family's memorial service, or the visitation, such it is. Mary, what are you doing this weekend, Mary Vanderbilt?
I'm going to a funeral as well today for a good friend and a good friend's mother. I'm sorry. I'm going ballroom dancing tomorrow night, so that'll be a fun thing. I don't know.
Does your husband go to that?
No.
She goes by herself. You have chutzpah.
I have friends there.
You must be having a fling with one of the dancers.
Not at all.
I don't know. Bill, do you buy it?
Doesn't seem right.
No.
Something seems wrong. About
Something
it.
Seems flingy.
Yeah, flingy.
I dance with my teacher.
That's my point.
Ooh, that's how it begins.
Lolita.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Josh, the Latin man.
Ah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we know what the pet name is. Now, what does he call you?
Crazy.
Aren't you supposed to dance with one who brung you? Mm-hmm. That's what they always say, yeah.
What?
Well, that would be yourself.
What are we back in the 40s? What's that? In their 20s?
That's what I'm saying.
But it's weird when you go because you still get asked by guys to dance. You know, some women will go and ask a guy, but they still, like, you sit there like a wallflower till somebody comes and asks you to dance. It's still a little weird.
Sounds like a pickup joint, some meat market.
Yeah.
And doesn't sound fun. What if no one picks you?
Well, then you just, I don't know, you sit there, you leave early. That's what I do. I go down to the bar downstairs.
Oh, there's a bar. All right.
All right, yeah. Good times. We'll come back and say the rest of the hi to these guys next. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is after this. Well, I look forward to Monday because when I come in on Monday, I'm going to be 100% for the first time in 3 weeks.
Oh, nice.
This is day 21 of the cold that won't quit. And actually, I felt pretty good last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bed now. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to feel great.
Mm-hmm.
I got up in the morning and the cold went, what do you think?
That's horrible.
Yeah, the cold.
And now you gave it to Wendy.
Yeah,
I've had a cough for I think longer than you. Maybe I gave it to you, but I haven't complained about it till now.
Bridget Gaynor was in this morning. She's sick. It's all the women in my world are sick. I told you, Bill. I've been making women sick for years,
for decades. Yeah, congratulations, streak intact. Yeah,
strong move by me. What are you guys doing on the show?
Chicago artist Matthew Hoffman, I love this guy. He is the founder and curator of the You Are Beautiful craze. If you drive around the city, you see these things saying You Are Beautiful. Mm-hmm. It started with the sticker. Now it's artwork. And it's just a nice little message as we go into the weekend.
Self-esteem kind of thing?
Yeah. Okay. You are beautiful, Steve.
You are beautiful.
You're beautiful as well.
Thank you.
And Bill, you could use that. I'd like you to put post-it notes all over your mirror
and say, I am pretty.
I am pretty. Say you're pretty, Bill.
I'm pretty, you know.
Why did you do that?
You believe it.
I am pretty.
I just think it needs work. We'll see you Monday.